friends. We're in the midst of discussing practical ideas and, as needed, definitions so that we can approach Lent with greater fruitfulness. And we were with the idea of plenary indulgences that can be obtained for the Stations of the Cross and for the prayer before the crucifix.
Right.
Some parishes really have, or if you're in a prayer groups, Lenten retreats. Mm-hmm. And those are very worthwhile. Pious reading, something, you know, I mentioned earlier in the last episode that I usually take up something of the Shroud of Turin on Good Friday. 1700 years, I mean, we, in this sense, we should give ourselves a little latitude. It's been 1700 years since Constantine outlawed crucifixion within the Christian world. That our memories have grown dim and our images of what really went on and our knowledge faded away is kind of to be expected. And the beautiful artwork, and it is appropriate. I've unfortunately seen so-called realistic crucifixes in a sanctuary. And quite frankly, I am very appreciative to the artist putting a loincloth in, yes, you know, on our Lord. Thank you, dear artist. But that sign of respect before his majesty, as it were, is yet another moment of removal from what really went on the cross. So for me, I like to kind of get myself tethered a little bit on what was a scourging. What did those crown of thorns really look like? The carrying of, you know, that sort of thing, which can lead to pious movies. Good movies have a way of imparting truths through their imagination. A holy Lent prepares the soul for this, for his particular judgment. And fear is replaced. The fear of death that the ashes remind us of, that death is coming, is replaced by a calm reliance on the Lord's infinite mercy without presumption. I was in Bible study today, and this notion of having a holy confidence in our Lord, in his mercy. This isn't the presumption like, dare we hope all are saved. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, I have a stance before the Lord that apart from him, I can do nothing. So in my good conscience, I do want to be bound to him in all areas of my life. And I trust he's going to show me those areas that need some attention, maybe time, such as Paul brought out in an earlier episode. And I just rely on his great goodness. Jacques Philippe, we're reading in the School of the Holy Spirit at breakfast. Mm-hmm. And he talks about our nature, our human nature is one of trying, failing, dusting ourselves off, picking ourselves up, moving forward, kind of again and again. And we get a little, God willing, we get a little better at the thing the more we do that. The Lord knows we're going to fail. The thing is, we just don't wallow in it. We dust ourselves out, and we track again.
Right. Yeah, I mean, everyone knows, you know, from a natural element, that the best of athletes fall. Every one of us has watched an athlete in the Olympics. You know, we're expecting them to do the quadruple jump, and they fall. Well, they don't sit down and cry. Right. I mean, what is they? I mean, they pop up so fast from that fall so that they themselves don't have time to think about their failure before they're moving on to the next success. And I think that we have to, you know, St. Paul so frequently brings in that element of the athlete, right? You know, running the race, fighting the fight, you know, trying to attain that crown of victory. And I think that those are really, when we can present ourselves those kind of a tangible, visible image of, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, when you fall, maybe that's what you kind of have. It's this image of the skater who falls and gets up, and, or the, you know, the diver who gets back on the board, whatever it is, it's going to be that motivating element. But they don't not get back up. You know, I mean, you have 40 days. No one said that you were supposed to be perfected on the first one. The whole point of the process is that little by little, over time, you, when you look back at the end of the 40 days, you should see growth. I mean, for heaven's sake, if you are already at the top of the mountain, where's there to go?
That's correct.
And even when you think about it with our Lord, even he started at the bottom of the mount, right? Even to get to his cross, he had to ascend.
That's right. So I wanted to, a Holy Lent makes the joy of Easter and this, and all of the Sundays throughout the year glorious, right? If you have a little Good Friday on all the Fridays, yes, then the little Easters, which Sunday are, just stand out in relief. They really do. But the supplemental norms for the plenary indulgence, paragraph 24, I'll have a link to the document itself, but paragraph 24, a plenary indulgence can be acquired only once in the course of a day, but one can't, so these are three sections to paragraph 24, but one can obtain the plenary indulgence for the moment of death, even if another plenary indulgence had been acquired for the day. So Holy Mother Church, course of time, it's one per day, but when you're on the verge of going into the kingdom, that is certainly not, that's taken away. A partial indulgence can be acquired more than once a day, unless otherwise expressed. Because if it's partial, then you haven't remitted it fully, so then you can have more of them. But if you've done something, it's remitted it fully, then why would you remit it fully again?
Right.
Yeah. Right? That's kind of the logic.
I mean, and it's also a statement of faith, that you trust that what the church said to you would be true.
There's that confidence.
Yeah.
It's that confident assurance that the Lord is just and merciful. And he really
works his ministers.
That's correct. Paragraph 25, the work prescribed for acquiring a plenary indulgence. And of course, you don't need the book. It's online, certainly.
Yeah.
What the church consists in a devout visit and the recitation during the visit of one Our Father and the Creed. To acquire plenary indulgence, it's necessary to perform the work, paragraph 26, to perform the work to which the indulgence is attached and to fulfill the following three conditions. One, sacramental confession, and the church gives, she does not give a specific number. I have seen specific numbers. Are we talking the day before? Are we talking the day after? Are we talking about a week? Are we talking about 3 weeks? Within a reason, she uses the term reasonable, because this is for all people, all time, all places.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a generous mother. So a reasonable period of time. Eucharistic communion. So mass needs to be attended at some point. And then you can pray for the intention of the sovereign pontiff, which is fully satisfied by reciting one Our Father and one Hail Mary. However, they say one is free to recite any other prayer according to his piety and devotion. So if you wanted to do St. Michael, that looks like it would be. And then here's paragraph 28.